Again, and welcome to all. And all of those who are listening in over the internet, welcome. I can't believe it's Sunday again. I talked to Kelly the other day and I said to her, gee, I said, what happened? I haven't heard from you for over a week. And she said, really? She said, I can't believe how fast time is going. So it's not just me. It seems like Sunday is always here. But that's okay. Sunday's a good day. Amen? And this morning I want to give us a word that I believe the Lord has given me more to stir you up and maybe to give you more encouragement. And how many of us know we need to be stirred up sometimes in the things of God with the things that we already know? And that's what I want to do this morning for us. Now I want us to open up our Bibles to begin this morning to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I want us to begin reading in verse 10, and I want us to go to verse 12. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son has this life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now, if you were with us for the last couple of weeks, we have been studying from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, the thief comes but for to... What does the thief come to do? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have what? Life. And that they may have life more abundantly. Now, I don't want to sound like a broken record. I've been teaching on this passage for 3 weeks. But I know personally in my own life, I am not experiencing the fullness of the life that Jesus came to give me. In fact, I sometimes wonder whether we really even understand this type of life that Jesus came to give us. And without understanding it, how can we by faith believe for it? Some people see this abundant life as having things, lots of money and beautiful home and you know, those, and that's all part of it, but it's such a small part of it. And the life that I want to share a little bit more about what the Lord has shown me about this life that Jesus came to give us. And I can safely, I think, speak for most of us that we are not where we want to be in experiencing life. Amen? We're still in this race called life. And I believe that by focusing on and continuing to speak on this supernatural life that Jesus gives us, I am, number one, endeavoring by the Spirit to convince all of us here today that this life is for us today and now to enjoy today, and it is free. And number two, it is attainable even in this life. Do you know there are many things that we hear and we do not pursue them passionately? You know why? Because they just look too hard. It's not that we don't believe that these things are possible, but it looks way too far away. And I don't even know if I want to try. In other words, to you, they're unattainable. Because you feel like it's by your own efforts and by something you're going to do that you're going to arrive there. And so when we talk about this abundance of life and the type of life that Christ himself enjoys, most Christians will sit under a message like that and say yes and amen, but they don't take it seriously. They do not say, yes, that's the kind of life I'm going to live. Why? Because it's so far away. It's so unattainable from where we are right now. And so we don't pursue this with passion, do we? We might pursue other things with passion. It's amazing what we will pursue with passion when our back is up against the wall. You know, sometimes we can live with things. But when that gets unbearable and we can't live anymore, we have a choice to make, then we start pursuing things with passion. God wants us to pursue this life with passion. Even if you have a fairly good life, it can't even compare to the type of life that Jesus died to give us. Amen? So let's not have the idea that this life is just so far away that none of us will ever attain to this type of life. Now, we've just read in 1 John chapter 5 that if you have Jesus, you have what? His life. If you haven't got Jesus, you don't have his life. Now, I want to share something with you. You've already attained. You already have it. You're not trying to run after and get something. You've already got it. If you have Jesus, you have his life, right? So then, you know, well, where is it? And a lot of people think, well, if God wants me to be blessed in this life, if God wants me to have a good life, then where is it? Why doesn't he just do it already? I'm believing in Jesus. I have Jesus in me. Where is this life? You know, we think that God can kind of just make things happen in our lives. And we have this idea that God can do anything. So we're waiting for God to sweep us up into this life. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. Maybe I'll somehow in my way get things right and then this will all start working together. But you know, God, there are some things God just cannot do. How many of us know that? God can do anything, yes. But there are some things God cannot do. For example, God cannot lie. The Bible does not say God does not lie or will not lie. It says he cannot lie. When you get a revelation of that, oh my goodness, the word will take on a whole new meaning to you. God said it. He cannot lie. What does that mean? That means he has what he says, God will do. He'll make it good no matter what because God cannot lie. In other words, it is an impossibility for God to lie. There are some things with God that are impossible. So, to say one thing and to do another, God will never do. And so in having that understanding, God has spoken. He has to work within the confinement of his own word. It's not that God doesn't care, God doesn't want to do a lot of things that we think God is kind of slack on. But God is working within the confines of his own word. And God gave dominion to Adam through the words of his mouth. And Adam, as we know, the first Adam, he messed up big time. We're still paying the ramifications of that mess up is still being felt. Even more so today, I think, than it was back then when he first messed up. But then Jesus came. Who is Jesus referred to in the Bible? As the second Adam. And he got it right. He was victorious over the one who is Satan, who took the dominion from Adam. And now all of us who are in Jesus are now set free from the dominion that Satan had, or that he obtained through Adam's sin, the dominion of what? Death. Where? In Christ we have this dominion. So Christ is the head of the victory that we have. We are his body. What the head enjoys, the body enjoys. Come on. In your own life, your head and your body are one. And everything enjoys the life together. You were together. You can't separate your head from your body. But sometimes in our thinking, we don't see ourselves as the body of Christ. The Bible even says we are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. It's a lot more personal than we even know. So we have, of course we should be enjoying. I mean, if your head is enjoying a different life than your body, think about it. You know, it should all be one life, one type of life. So Jesus is the head of our victory and we are his body. And we are now joint heirs with him in his victory. Now, I want us to notice the word joint. That means there's two involved. We are joint heirs. Jesus has already done his part, right? He's won the victory over all of the death. He's won the victory. Okay, let's stop here for a moment. We're talking about life. What's the opposite of life? Death. He's won the victory over all death. And so all life should be yours. And he did this where? At the cross. He did it as you. He did it as you. He died as you. He took all of your death and exchanged it now for all of his life. We know these things. I am not sharing things with you today that you do not know. But it's good to remember them and recall them. We forget. So now if you have Jesus in your heart, if you are in him and he is in you, you already have his life, this life, his quality and his quantity on the inside of you. Now, this life doesn't come down from above. We sometimes think when we pray, I don't know why, in our heads, in our imaginations, we see life coming from outside to us. That's not scriptural. The life is in you. This life that Jesus came to give us, it's inside of you. Wherever you go, it goes. You can't get rid of it. So we don't need more life. We need wisdom on how to utilize what we already have. You know, knowledge, the Bible says knowledge just puffs up. We need wisdom. Not more knowledge, not more life. How do we allow this life that's already in us to affect our lives? Bring it into the natural. So, we already have this life. We, you and I, have been made stewards over this life. And we will give account one day as to what we did with the gift God gave us. We are stewards over this life. In other words, we are the determining factor as to how much of this abundance of life we're going to walk in, you and I. That doesn't mean that someday, if we don't pursue it, if we're not good stewards over that gift, that doesn't mean we're not going to go to heaven. It's just that it just means that in this lifetime, you are not going to live the life that you could have lived, the supernatural life. Amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got to believe that. The life in you is greater than the death that's in you or around you. Do you understand? Just like light always dispels darkness, life will always dispel death. My goodness, what a promise. That life is in you. And wherever you see death, you've got life. And it's always, it doesn't matter. You know that if it's a dark room and you put a light in there, the darkness flees. You can be just as sure of the life that lives in you. That if there is death, that life can dispel that death. You've got life. We need to get excited about what we have. That doesn't mean that the darkness isn't going to try and come around us. Sometimes we feel like we're walking around like Linus with that cloud that, you know, wherever he goes, this cloud, and he makes a dust storm behind him, and this cloud is always following him. Sometimes we feel like that. We feel like the darkness is overwhelming. We feel like we are living under the shadow of death and not the shadow of God, of life. How many of us, all of us go through times like that. We may never admit it, but it's true. As long as we're in this world, because it's all around us, it gets on you. But you have to always remember, no, I have life in me, life. Greater is the life in me than the darkness and the death and the negativeness that's going on around me. You got to believe that. That should give us joy, hope. Amen? So we need to remember these things that I'm speaking about this morning. So how can we explain the life that's on the inside of us? And this message actually this morning comes from watching a television program. And God speaks to me a lot through TV. You know, honestly, he does. I see things and all of a sudden Holy Spirit will quicken things in my heart. And I mean, you can laugh. And it's not necessarily Christian TV either. It's just that he shows me things. He arrests my attention with things. But anyways, a couple of weeks ago, Cam and I, of course, Saturday night, couldn't find anything. There's really nothing on TV to watch. not a lot of good movies, and we're kind of wanting to watch a movie. So we found this one called Limitless. Anybody here seen the show Limitless? Well, I had never seen. Oh, have you? Okay, well, so you'll understand the show, or understand what I want to say here this morning, maybe in a little better way. But anyways, we watched it. We turned there. And, you know, really, just to give you a quick rundown of what the show was about, it was about a wannabe writer, a guy who wanted to write a book, and he had all kinds of big ideas about being famous and coming up with a best-selling author. And but, you know, he was lazy. And he had been trying to write this book, I think, for years. And he was very lazy. He was really too lazy to go out and get a real job. So he kind of lived and mooched off his girlfriend, and she paid his rent and his groceries, and he just kind of closed himself up in this apartment. He lived like a pig. It was a mess. He was unkept. He looked like a street bum, really. And was just happy to kind of sail along in life and give his girlfriend these big promises that someday he's going to write this amazing book. Well, in other words, he had no ambition to better himself. You know, he was happy to live this way. And then, of course, his girlfriend dumps him because she's tired of paying his bills and tired of his empty promises to change his life. And she leaves. And along comes an old friend of his from the past. And he begins to share with his friend about, you know, his life and how, man, things are really getting bad. And his friend says, well, I just have the answer for you. And he gives him a drug that apparently was approved by the FDA, and this is what he was told. And that, you know what, just one pill will change your life. And of course, the guy was not interested at first. It's like, nah, you know, I don't need drugs. You know, I'm not going to start going on drugs. Anyways, he left. He says, I'll leave you one pill. And he said, here's my card. If you need to get more or you need to contact me. Anyways, long story short, the guy does end up taking the pill. He's desperate. And within 2 minutes to 5 minutes after he took the pill, all of a sudden, his brain, which only maybe 5 to 10% was being used, came alive. And as the show unfolded, I began to see how the life of Jesus on the inside of us works in much the same way. It's like his brain was enhanced, which in turn, everything else started. He never felt so alive, so good. So what does he do? He goes back to that apartment that he calls home. He walks in. He looks around and goes, oh, my word. I mean, he knows. He cleans the place up. I mean, cleans it up. Cleans himself up. Cuts his hair. You would never know it's the same guy. He writes the book, a bestseller, in 4 days. Takes it to the publisher. And of course, the publisher has known about this man for a long time. And she's like, yeah, right. You wrote a book. I did. He said, just read it. And she's, I really don't know if I have time. Read it, he said. Just give me the first, 3 pages? And if you're not hooked after 3 pages, then fine, put the book aside. So, of course, she read the whole thing, and she was so excited, like, you wrote this? Where did you get this from? You know? And so it changed his whole life. It changed his whole life. He became very rich. He even hired someone to dissect the drug. He hired a chemist to see what was in it, and to make sure there was nothing, because he continued to use it, and to see that there wasn't going to be anything that would harm him. And at the end of the show, he was about to become the president. People were pursuing him. He was so intelligent. He was so, and I saw through that show, it was a show. It was fiction. But whoever wrote the show, you know, I thought, wow, people understand that it's all in here. It all begins in here, and it affects everything. But you know, the same way with God's life, it starts on the inside of us, and it should be affecting you. You should feel alive, vitality. And it's because of that vitality. It's not that God's gonna pour money down from the sky. No. Now he made money like crazy without even trying. When you are so full of life, things start working. You don't wear out. You have ideas. You have, you know, your mind is alive. Your body is full of life. It's that life that we're all looking for. It's no wonder people in the world, I thought after watching the show, it's no wonder people are on drugs. They want life. They are tired of feeling like they're half alive. They want to feel alive. And so for them reaching, and of course for the wrong things, we all do, because we're all looking for that one thing, and God knows it. And that's why the Bible says the whole creation is groaning to feel vitally alive. Because when God created us, that's how Adam was, alive. And after sin came in, everything became dull and humdrum. And how many times do we get up in the morning and we feel that, like we got a black cloud hanging over us? We don't feel alive. We're kind of shuffling through life and we think, is this it? Is this life? I want to feel alive. And those days where you do feel good, there are some days, for whatever the reason, you just feel good. Aren't they amazing? If you could have every day and every moment to feel that way, just to feel alive, could you imagine how productive you'd be? Could you imagine how happy life would be? Because when you feel tired, and it doesn't matter how good the things are around you, you can't enjoy them. And when you feel alive on the inside, it doesn't matter how bad anything is, you feel great. Do you understand? That's the life I'm talking about. It's not necessarily the things. The things will come. But it's his life, his vitality, that brings all these things into your life. And that's what I want. I want that life. I want to know I'm alive. You know, I want my world to be brighter. I want the colors to be more vivid. The things that I see to be brighter. That's life. And like I said, the show showed how, you know, like, everything was enhanced. You know, everything tasted better. Everything looked better. The colors were brighter. His mind was just alive and active. It was amazing. It was an amazing show. But I saw it in the light of what God has done for us with the life he's placed on the inside of us. And so when we pursue life like we need to by faith, because it's by faith, we need to know what we're pursuing. I'm not pursuing a new house. I'm not pursuing money. I'm pursuing life. And all of these things will be added to me when I pursue life. God has given us the power to get wealth. Amen. And so, this guy wasn't out. I mean, he took the drug and ended up being rich. You know, he took the drug, I think, just to kind of get him through a bad place. And it's just a fictional story, and I'm not advocating drugs here. But I'm just saying, I totally understood, you know, because for the first time in his life, he felt alive, really alive. And I know that the moment you and I leave this body, that is the first thing we're dead. And you're going to think, I have never been more alive in my life. Because it is the body that weighs you down. It's the body. It's the psyche of the body that makes you feel blah. And if you're constantly focusing on that, then the life that's in you gets squelched. It can't come out. So we need to know what this life really is so that we can, by faith, begin to believe for this type of a life, a vibrant life, vibrant. Oh, I'm off my notes. Anyways, this guy became limitless in his pursuits. Whatever he touched prospered. And that's what God has told us. Whatever you put your hand to is going to prosper. Why? Because you're so good? No, because of the life that's in you, the vibrancy. Man wrote the script for that show. But you know what? I thought to myself, and he was like, it was amazing. But no one really knows what we, you and I, would be like or capable of doing if we really did utilize all of our brain. Wow. Just think how smart we are even now. Just teasing. Can I hear an amen? Now you just add God's power to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 says this. So it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam. Who's the last Adam? Jesus was made a what? A quickening spirit. A quickening spirit. Now, the word quickening here is the Greek word zoupoieo. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm doing how it's written out. Zoupoieo. And it means to vitalize. To quicken means to vitalize. To make alive. To give life. To quicken. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, it says this, even when you and I were dead in our sins, God has quickened us together, vitalized, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this, but you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened, there's the word again, together with him, having forgiven you, past tense, all trespasses or all your sins. Now, this is referring to your spirit. These scriptures are referring to your spirit. God has quickened you, made you alive together with Christ, seated you together with him and in the heavenly places. Now, but there are many who believe that and teach as well that it is only our spirit that can be quickened. But the rest of us, you know, we live in this world. It's our spirit that's alive. It's our spirit that will never die. It's our spirit that's delivered from death. But the same spirit that quickened us together with Christ in our own spirits, because we are now one spirit in the Lord, now lives in you and I. The same quickening spirit that quickened us, gave us a new spirit in Christ, made us one in Christ, lives in you. Okay? Romans 8:11 says this, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. In other words, he quickened Jesus' spirit. He quickened Jesus. He's the first fruit from the dead. And you are quickened in him, with him. So that's where the quickening happened. So it says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that quickening spirit, if he dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus and you from the dead, what? Shall also quicken your short-lived, perishable, mortal spirits? Is that what it says? No, bodies. What is the body? You all got a body here today? Bodies. Thank God it says bodies. It's very clear. That same quickening spirit, which is the spirit of life, which is the life that Jesus came to give you, if it lives in you, he will also quicken, make alive, revitalize your short-lived, perishable, mortal bodies. How? By the spirit that dwells in you. So it's in you. This life that we're talking about is in you. Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 63, it is the spirit that quickens the flesh will profit you nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh will profit you nothing. You know, the whole world, like I said earlier, is running after this life. They all want this life. And different people pursue it in different ways. They think that if I'm famous, I'll have life. If I have money, I'm going to have this life. If I'm, you know, if I'm really healthy and fit. So we have everything is pertaining to this, whether it's food you eat, exercise, you know, the spas, the yoga, everything is about feeling good. Everything is about life and quality of life. You just watch the ads and you ask yourself now, you know, I don't care if it's a cell phone ad. It's all about quality or quantity. And it's all about life, getting a better life, having a better life, enhancing your life, enjoying life more. That's what everything is about. Everything. To feel good. But it says all that stuff's of the flesh and it profits little. Like, I mean, nothing wrong with eating right, diet, exercise, all of that has its place. But you'll never get life out of that. Because why? Because it's all of the earth. It's all under a curse. It's all death. And these things can't even come close to what you and I have on the inside of us. The fountain of life. You have a fountain of life on the inside of you and you don't even know it. You have what the whole world is looking for. Freely. You can use it as much as you want. Just imagine if that pill were true, if there was a pill like that. I mean, oh my goodness. And it didn't hurt you. That would be like the fountain of life. But you got that, and how much better? How much better? So you must be aware of this life that's on the inside of you. How else can we exercise our faith and believe for it? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. How do we bring this life out? What is the best way? What is a way that God has given us that we might not? You've heard this sermon before. Where I'm going to go today, you've heard everything I'm going to say, but I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to bring you back to remember some of these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 4 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, what? Edifies what? Himself. It does not say edifies your spirit. Your spirit is one with Christ. Do you think Christ needs any improvements? No. You are as edified and as alive as you are ever going to be because you are one in Christ. But there is a part of us that needs to be edified. It is the body. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, anybody remember when we did this study before? What does the word edify mean? It means to build up. Build the house. Restore. Where's your house? My body. Repair the house. Restore the house. Quicken the house. That's what it means. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He is speaking mysteries unto God. For years, we were taught that praying in tongues builds the spirit man, but it's not the case. It is for your body. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, if anyone believes in me, out of his belly will flow rivers of what? Of life, living waters. Now, this is all speaking of the Holy Spirit. What are these living waters for? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life. He is in you for one reason, to bring life. He came into you to bring you into life with Christ. He's in you now. He never changes. He's never changes his venue. He is here. He is the Spirit of life. He cannot bring death. And he wants to make you so alive. That's what he does. He is life. That's his nature, his character. And nothing brings him joy except life. It's to bring you life and to flow through you like a river so that he can bring you life, revitalize you, and flow through you to revitalize and bring life unto others. That's his whole ministry. He wants to quicken your mind. He wants to quicken your body, your immune system especially. Because all breakdown in the body is a breakdown of the immune system. God placed within us the most extraordinary thing. And in many cases, a lot of times, it's because our immune system gets run down, gets weak, or breaks down completely, and then the body's not fighting the viruses and the germs and everything else that is continually around us that will never leave. We can't get rid of the viruses and things that are around us. But it's all to do with your immune system. And so when the Spirit quickens you, he is bringing and revitalizing your immune system. It's strong and healthy. He wants to quicken your mind. Don't get the idea that just because you're getting older, your mind is getting duller and forgetful. No, 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 no. With the Spirit, with the life that's on the inside of you, your mind should be so sharp, so enhanced. You should be quick to see things, much quicker than you ever were. Not because of you, but because the Spirit of life is in you. And you need to see that, you need to believe that, and you need to have faith and walk in it. How do you release this life? He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies, brings life to his whole body. Now, don't get discouraged if you pray in tongues for an hour tomorrow and nothing happens. You continue in this. It's something we should do every day. God has given us a gift. It's not just the evidence that we have the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in motion. He wants to quicken every cell in your body. Do you know that that's how age happens? Your cells begin to die. Do you know that's how your brain begins to generate? Cells begin to die. He wants to quicken and bring new life. Bring new life to the cells in your body that are dying and degenerating, degening, whatever. He wants to restore, rebuild. And in the end, you should be more vitally alive than way back then. We should be, I have taught this before, we should be getting, life should be more and more and more active as we get older. That's God's plan. And God has a great sense of humor. And if he did it for Sarah, ladies, he will do it for you. We are daughters of Sarah. She lived under the old covenant. He's given you that fountain on the inside of you. We are stewards over this life. So he wants to quicken every part of your being. Quicken it. Renew your youth. God cannot lie. Remember we said that. God cannot lie. It's not that he will not. He cannot. And if he said he will quicken your body by the spirit that's in you, then he will do it. He will do it. You have to trust him. You got to walk in the light of this and believe God for it. Is it important? Yes, it is important. You are the temple. You are the house of God. And God does not want his temple sick, weak, broken down. We reflect him. The house always reflects the person who lives in it. Right? You go into somebody's house and it looks like a pig lives there. Guess what? But some people are not good housekeepers. Now, I really don't care. That's their business. But what I'm saying is it does reflect on the person who lives there. It says a lot about you as a person. And God does not want to live in a house that is totally dilapidated. And it's needs repair so bad that really there is no way you can repair it. It's just like mow it down and put up a new one. No. No, God has given us. Why do you think God gave you the spirit of life? He didn't just give it to you so that you can just, you bring your spirit alive. Yeah, but I mean, he put that spirit in you, that quickening spirit, for a reason. To bring you back to life. He knew that this body is, he saved your spirit, but he didn't save the body yet. And he knew we're going to have to stay in this life. He knew we're going to need help with this body. God help us. Jesus was in a human body. He knows. He knows the limitations this body has on every one of us. And so he's given us the spirit of life to utilize and to not only for our good, but for the good of others. So God cannot lie. He will not do this without your permission, without you walking with him. Because the just will live by faith. You have to give him permission. He needs you to open your mouth. Now, I know that you can open up your mouth and speak the word of God in your own language over your own body. That is still by the Spirit. But I believe that the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues knows exactly what part of your body to pray for, what part to send life to. Sometimes we do not know how to pray as we ought. In fact, most times we don't know how to pray as we ought. And every time you pray in tongues, once you believe what I'm saying here today, you need to exercise your faith and you need to believe that these areas, these things are being quickened by God and give thanks for it. I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Every day I'm getting smarter and more alive and more alert in my mind, in my body. Believe and trust God and just know the Holy Spirit is doing it. God said it, it will happen. Like I said, don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen in the first week. Just continue on. Now, this is not a new revelation to us today. I know all of us have heard this before, this message. But are we taking it to heart? When I saw that show, it was like it all just came back to me and I thought, whoa, we do have the same, we have something so much better than a pill. But are we utilizing it? Are we really serious about it? Taking it to heart. God has given us a supernatural I mean, it's our natural tongue, but it's a supernatural gift to release supernatural life. And don't let anyone ever tell you or convince you that it isn't really all that important to pray in tongues. Really makes no difference in your life. Do you think God would have gave us something that really makes no difference? No. God gives good gifts, amazing gifts. It's the enemy that tries to get us to think that it really doesn't, just gives you a dry mouth. This is not a trivial gift from God. Don't belittle it by thinking it was just the evidence and now I can throw it away. I had the evidence. I know I've got the Spirit. I prayed in tongues one day and I guess that's it. And don't be disconcerted if you don't have a big prayer language. You always only start with one word, two words. I had three and I doubted whether it was God. I thought it was me babbling on. So 3 days in a row. Not in a row, actually. I waited 2 days in between each time and I went into my prayer. I thought, okay, I'm going to do it again. I thought, oh, I just made those words up. But you know, the same phrase came out of my mouth three times. I didn't write the phrase down. I didn't try to remember it, but three times. And I knew by the time I said it the third time, that's what I said the first time. This has to be something else because I don't know those words. I have never thought it, even thought of those words. And I knew, and I knew. And so those three words, I just said over and over and over and over. And God, and I asked God, God, increase this thing. I want to use more than three words. And he did. You know, as I was faithful in it, they just began to, you know, and you know, even from experience, I know personally that when I pray in tongues a lot, and there's periods in my life, and I think all of us can say, yeah, there is periods. I know one thing that for sure I know is enhanced in my life is it seems like the days where I pray a lot in tongues or the weeks, I am able to much more clearly hear the voice of God. Much more clearly. And he begins to speak. He begins to show me things. It's like my brain is enhanced. And otherwise, sometimes you just are dull. But the Holy Spirit just begins to speak. And so, I mean, that's just a small part. There's so much I could stand up here and say about praying in tongues and the benefits of it. But I do know that it is God's way of us releasing the life that's on the inside of us. Jesus said in the book of John, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak are spirit and life. And many times I said before, and most times, we don't know what words of life to speak over our bodies to bring life. Because it is the word that quickens. It's the word that has the life. Jesus was the word. But the Holy Spirit knows everything about you and all of the word of God. He is the spirit of life. And in Romans chapter 8, it says this, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. What is the word infirmities? It means our feebleness in your mind, in your body, feebleness, weakness, anywhere in you. It's taken from the word athanu. It means to strengthen bodily vigor. Strengthen bodily. It means strength and bodily vigor. That's what infirmity means. You're a lacking strength and bodily vigor. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, or actually uttered means understood. It's not that we can't utter them, you can't understand them, okay? Intercession. What does intercession mean? He maketh intercession. It means to light upon as a mark, to effect, to bring to pass, to attain, or to secure. He's all, remember, what does he do? He brings life. He's hitting the mark that you miss. Sin means miss the mark. He's hitting the mark for you. He is bringing to pass life to areas that are dead. He is attaining for you. He is securing for you this life. You just have to let it out. You got to pray in tongues and trust that he is. He's searching all of you to bring life to every part of your body. So the Holy Spirit is really the power or the life of the word of Christ. Remember Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he knows which word to speak forth out of your mouth, even though you don't know what you're saying. You're speaking words of life. You know, When you really think about it, Isaiah 54 says, speaking of the word, you have to see the Holy Spirit as really referring to the scripture where Jesus said, out of your innermost being is going to flow rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he's like the rain. Have you ever seen a dried out plant that looks like it's about to die? And you just get a nice rain. I mean, almost instantly. That plant is standing up and it becomes vitally alive. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He is like the rain from heaven. Like, what does the Bible say? I'll pour upon all flesh my spirit. It's like rain. And this is, the Bible says in Isaiah 55, as the rain comes from heaven, waters the earth, causes it to bud and bring forth seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will wash you. It will bring life. It'll revitalize you. It's all the word. And you know, even when you do have a plant and you're growing a plant and it gets that beautiful rain and you just see it just flourishing, if you don't continue to water that plant, within a week, it's going to probably look worse than it did the first time. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to live in this life, you have to be continually watered. You know, how good is it? It's refreshing. You know, when you get out of the shower and you just feel refreshed. That's why the Bible says, and this is the rest. And I guarantee you, when you're in that place and you're communing with the Holy Spirit, you are at complete peace, complete rest. It gets to be your safe haven, your place where you can just totally relax and totally feel safe, knowing that he is looking after every area of your life. But you have to go in there. You have to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You have to allow him to reign on your life, to reign on your dried up body. Isn't that what old aging is? It is drying up from the inside out. You need the dew of youth. 103 Psalm says that he satisfies your mouth with the good, that your youth is renewed as the eagle. Youthfulness. The word youth there isn't even 20. It's teenage years. You know how much stamina and vigor you had in your teenage years? You could have gone all night and all day the next day. God wants you to be vitally alive, because unless we're vitally alive, we cannot enjoy this life. If we're always tired and depressed and oppressed, it don't matter how good God gives. It doesn't matter how beautiful your house is. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. You cannot enjoy life. And so God vitalizes you. He gives you vigor and vitality. And then all of these other things aren't always even that important. You are just so alive and so enjoying life. And then you can begin to give life away. You can begin to intercede by the same Spirit to bring life into the lives of others. You can lay hands, and that life that's in you will go into others. See, it's for you and for the good of all around you. Amen? How many of us have learned something? How many of us have been stirred up in our faith again, and to pray in tongues, and to believe God? To believe God, to continually bring to life, to water. And you know, and sometimes it might take a little bit of time, because sometimes, you know, we don't really know how dead we are and how much water we need, you know, to bring us back to that place of vitality. But I guarantee you, because the word guarantees us, that if you will begin to do this every day, water yourself in the Spirit. Let that Holy Spirit just water you, give you that vitality, and just, I guarantee you, you will see the difference every day. Yield your tongue to the Holy Spirit, and I know that it will never, ever, ever be in vain in your life. Amen. Let's close in prayer.